Blog Talk Radio.
$5 million waterfront home on Lake Michigan is saying, goddamn the USA. Huh? After he made all that money on the goddamn USA. Not bad, huh? Yes, race cards can become bonds of delight. I found something on the internet, and I just noticed that it's dated Monday, March the 26th. I went out looking to see if there was any news on the Navy SEALs that were killed in Afghanistan in that chopper crash, because there was a lot of disinformation and no information. And I've been blasting Obama for not going to Dover Air Force Base and receiving the bodies back. But I found in a British newspaper dated March the 26th, it's called Mail Online News. And it says, Obama mourns with families of killed soldiers as the bodies of all 30 heroes return home while Pentagon launches probe into the crash. Now, these guys were killed, about 2 months ago? And the Pentagon is now launching a probe. They're going to take longer to have this probe than it'll take them to kill Major Hassan, the murderer, who will never be killed. But if he was a real American soldier, they could kill him. So here's what it says. It says, top Afghan official claims Taliban lured U.S. forces into trap. Badly damaged remains flown to Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. Military believes it was most likely a lucky shot, not new insurgent ability. Listen to that crap. And I got sick. I heard some general during that the burning of the Koran doing "Assalamu alaikum, my Afghan friends." Give me a break, man. You know, can't you stick to the script? Taliban ambushed chopper with rocket-propelled grenades. 22 of the dead soldiers were from elite SEAL Team 6. At 38 deaths in total, so there were 16 other guys that died, it's the highest number of U.S. casualties in one incident. Obama mourns extraordinary sacrifice and says troops will press on. Now, when Obama got bin Laden, single-handedly came down on the helicopter with the snorkel and killed bin Laden, that was all over. The press is going to make a movie about it, that they're going to do it. Hollywood is going to do I Got Obama, the Obama story. And, I mean, I Got Osama by Obama. I often get them mixed up. I call them Obama bin Laden. But anyway, there was all kinds of kudos for getting bin Laden. You know, Bush was there for 8 years and he couldn't get him. It was the supreme commander who got him. But when these SEALs got killed, they were buried in the press before they were buried at home. Within 8 hours, the entire report was out of the media. And that's what fired up my jet engines. So here's what the Daily Mail reporter says. The badly damaged remains of the 30 brave American troops killed when their helicopter was shot down in Afghanistan were brought back to the U.S. today. President Barack Obama and senior officials from the military White House, he was greeted by a colonel, I think, and Pentagon, I don't know if that's a senior official or not. White House and Pentagon honored the heroes as their bodies were flown into Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. It came as an Afghan official. You know, Joe Biden voted to burn the flag. Did you know that? Yeah. And I often wondered when he had to go out to Dover Air Force Base and watch those coffins, flag-draped coffins, being unloaded. I often wondered if he turned to the guy standing guard and says, "Hey, I'm Joe Biden. I voted to burn the flag." I don't think so, huh? It came as an Afghan official claimed the Taliban lured U.S. forces into a trap to shoot down their helicopter in the deadliest incident of the war in Afghanistan. So far, they killed 38 people in total. Shortly after the Pentagon announced it was opening a probe into the crash, which will no doubt address a host of questions, including a look at the insurgent threat and the instructions given to the special operations team crowded into a Chinook helicopter as it raced to assist other forces. Then they have a picture of Obama coming down the helicopter one. And it says, President Barack Obama salutes as he is greeted by Colonel Mark Camara, the 436th Airlift Wing Commander, left as he steps off of Marine One at Dover Air Force Base on Tuesday. On Tuesday. A Secret Service, then they have a picture, they have a motorcade, and there's a white police car. It looks like it's the presidential limousine, and then another limousine, and then a Suburban with a guy in a suit sitting in the back with a machine gun. Protection. A Secret Service agent rides in a vehicle in a motorcade carrying Mr. Obama in Delaware. And then they have a picture of the fallen. Dead. John Duong Dada left. Was the lead dog handler for the elite SEAL Team 6, and Derek Benson Wright was one of only 19 to finish his SEAL class in 2003, their families and friends said. And one photo was from KTIV, and one photo was from ABC. Gone forever, Matt Mason left, was a married father of two on SEAL Team 6. And Petty Officer First Class Jason Workman Wright was also married with a child and had always wanted to be a Navy SEAL. Those photos are from KNBC, KM, M as in Mary, BC, and KSL. Then they show a picture of Obama walking past the Washington Monument in the, on the lawn. And he returns to the White House following his trip to Dover Air Force Base. I didn't see him hugging any of the relatives. And I wonder if any of the relatives were there. Work done. After paying respects to the 30 servicemen killed in Afghanistan, he got another picture of them going in the back door of the White House. The president returns to the White House in Washington. Then it goes on to say, General James Mattis, head of U.S. Central Command, has appointed Army Brigadier General Jeffrey Colt to lead the investigation. And the results will be published after the election. I'm only ad-libbing. Colt is deputy commander of the 101st Airborne Division at Fort Campbell in Kentucky. A Pentagon spokesman said, and there are unidentifiable remains on two C-17 cargo planes, and some families don't know with any certainty who is in that transfer case, reported MSNBC. So MSNBC reported this. I haven't seen anything, but again, I could be missing it. The Pentagon argued that none of the families could give their individual permission for media coverage of the event because the exact contents of each casket were unclear. And you know what that sounds like to me? Whatever you can find, throw it in this box. Whatever you can find, throw it in that box. 19 of the 30 families objected to media coverage. If one objected, that would be enough to throw them out. The Pentagon said, in my words, the Pentagon said the decision on media coverage had been left solely up to the families of the fallen since 2009. Hang in a second. The troops involved in the crash were trying to assist forces hunting a Taliban leader, and they were shot down by an insurgent with a rocket-propelled grenade, NATO said. One of the things I don't like about the reporting of this war, when Americans die, so as not to upset the American people, they classify them as NATO troops. But they're all being buried here, guys. The Chinook helicopter was hit while it was trying to land. With earlier reports, they said they couldn't tell you if it was landing or taking off. U.S. military officials said, many of those who died were involved in SEAL Team 6, which was the unit behind the raid that killed former al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden at his Pakistan compound right next to the Pakistan military base. The investigation will review a number of basic crash questions, more likely to rule out things like the weather, terrain, and mechanical issues, since military officials believe the helicopter was shot down. It will then also look at the altitude and flight path of the Chinook as it moved into the fighting zone. Chinooks are heavy cargo helicopters. They do not have the agility of smaller, more maneuverable aircraft. That's a lot of people to put on one helicopter. And from the blogs that I managed to find on the internet from the military guys who are in Afghanistan or were in Afghanistan, they all said that the Chinook was too cumbersome. There also will be questions on why that team was called in, what they knew about the situation on the ground, and what protections they may have had against fire from the ground. Yeah, no dusting, you know, no fighter jet going in and dusting, or one of those Cobra gunships. I wish you'd include a picture of my father, the young boy's tribute to his pilot dad. A young boy from Kansas sent in a photo to CNN of his father after he discovered the U.S. Army pilot was killed on board that Chinook, shot down. Braden Nichols, 10 years old, of Kansas City, sent in a photo of Brian Nichols, 31, sitting with four of his fellow soldiers. I see the picture. Killed in Afghanistan. My father was one of the 30 U.S. soldiers killed in Afghanistan with the SEALs rescue team, the boy wrote. My father was the pilot of the Chinook. I have seen other pictures of victims from this deadly mission, and I wish you would include a picture of my father. He is the farthest to the left. Nice guy. Mr. Nicholas was meant to return home for 2 weeks of leave just 9 days after he was killed in the attack, and he had kept in contact with Braden via Skype, reported CNN. And then they have pictures of all these guys are all good-looking guys, man, and, you know, in the prime of their youth, or prime of their, you know, in the prime of their age, Lieutenant Commander Jonas Kelsall, left, and Chief Petty Officer Robert James Reeves, right, are both natives of Shreveport, Louisiana. A lot of courage in Louisiana, who, by the way, just voted for Santorum. And they were killed when a U.S. Chinook helicopter crashed in Afghanistan. Yeah. Okay, and then we got two other guys. We got Sergeant Patrick Hamburger, 30, of Grand Island, Nebraska, and fallen serviceman Kevin Houston, right, both of whom were killed in action. Heroes to the end, and Navy SEAL Michael Strange, left, was on his third tour of Afghanistan. Spencer Duncan of Olathe, Kansas, was serving as a door gunner on the helicopter when it was shot down. I wonder what he saw. President Obama has pledged the incident will not stop the U.S. prevailing in Afghanistan, and the Pentagon labeled the helicopter shooting as one-off event that would not alter foreign strategy. But the attack last week was the biggest single loss of life for U.S. and NATO forces since the invasion of Afghanistan. I got to tell you, Obama's killed 2,000, I don't say he's killed, 2,000 men have died under Obama in Afghanistan. In 8 years, Bush only lost 461 too many. But that's a far cry from 3 years in 2000. The whole Iraq war was 4,500. Not counting all the IEDs that blew the legs off of about 60,000 guys. There were 22 SEAL commandos, 3 Air Force Special Operations Forces, 5 U.S. Army personnel, 7 Afghan commandos, and an interpreter who all died in the attack, reported AFP. Some of those blogs that I checked on, some guys wondered if, when they thought it was taking off, they thought maybe one guy got on there that didn't belong on there. But being that they were coming in, I'm sure they were wondering if there was an Allahu Akbar guy on board. A top Afghan government official claimed Taliban commander Qadi Tahir lured American forces to the scene by telling them a meeting of the militia group was happening. Here's a little side note. Senior Afghan government official, now it's confirmed that the helicopter was shot down and it was a trap that was set by a Taliban commander. The Taliban knew which route the helicopter would take. Okay, and then there's more pictures. There's a CNN picture of Proud Aaron Carson Vaughn, left, is one of the elite soldiers who was on the doomed chopper. Air Force Tech Staff Sergeant John Brown was a paramedic whose unit was attached to the Navy SEALs. The next picture is a saluted Craig Vickers of Haiku, Maui, a Navy bomb disposal team member, died when insurgents shot down the military chopper. There's a Pentagon spokesman comment. At this point, it is a one-off incident. We still have the Taliban on the run. We reversed the momentum that they had, but they're still going to inflict casualties. I don't like that kind of talk. I don't like that. I like the blackjack dealer's talk when he's passing the chips to the next dealer, and he claps his hands to show they're all gone. Now it's confirmed that the helicopter was shot down. It was a trap that was set by the Taliban commander, he told AFP. The Taliban knew which route the helicopter would take. They took position on either side of the valley on mountains, and as the helicopter approached, they attacked it with rockets and other modern weapons. It was brought down by multiple shots. He added that President Hamid Karzai's American-backed government believes the attack was retaliation for the killing of bin Laden in May. At this point, it is a one-off incident. You know, time heals all media lies. And the media is covering up because Obama's got a campaign to run. And they're going to keep this out of the press until it's just a fog in the back of your mind. And then nobody will care anymore. He added that President Hamid Karzai's American-backed government believes the attack was retaliation for killing bin Laden in May. At this point, it's a one-off incident. A Pentagon spokesman said, too bad the Pentagon spokesman wasn't there. And you know what? They're not telling you who was trapped on the ground that they had to go get. We still have the Taliban on the run, yeah, blah, blah. And we're all going to have chocolate pudding. And pay respects. And they got another picture of Obama, and he's saluting during the ceremony, the transfer of U.S. and Afghan personnel who died in the helicopter crash in Afghanistan. President Obama is seen silhouetted inside Marine One helicopter. I wonder if they kept it on the ground for that picture, huh? Hold on a minute. We want to get this picture. Bush had one where he was looking out of a plane. Obama's got to have one. And during his arrival on the South Lawn of the White House, after his unannounced trip to Delaware, he had no choice. his touring team told him he had to go. Tragic development. And here's another picture of President Obama. He's on the phone in a golf shirt. And as U.S. came to grips with the deadliest loss of American lives since the war in Afghanistan began, it emerged that among the 38 brave men who perished were two hometown best friends, Chief Petty Officer Robert James Reeves and Lieutenant Commander Jonas Kelsall from Shreveport, Louisiana. Both mastered extreme trials to gain their places on SEAL Team 6. They had excelled at high school together before enlisting and being sent to Afghanistan, where the pair were assigned the same mission, placed in the same helicopter, and died together. Mr. Reeves, 32, joined the elite SEAL team in 1999. He had been best friends with Mr. Kelsall, who enlisted soon after, since his freshman year of high school. That's interesting. He was also very gregarious, a star soccer and lacrosse player in high school, Mr. Reeves' father, James Reeves, told the New York Times. It has never been obvious to me that he was going to choose a military career. It is very difficult to make it on these SEAL teams, but that's where he knew he needed to be. In more than a decade of service, Chief Reeves fought in war zones more than a dozen times. He earned 4 Bronze Stars for bravery, each with a V device signifying valor. And here's another picture of the mourning president. Speaks out about the troops' sacrifice at the White House. There are more pictures of Obama here than there are of the combined SEAL team. His family last saw him at home for Christmas, and even then he refused to speak about the highly secretive specifics of his work, his father said. Aaron Carson Vaughn from Tennessee was a 30-year-old Navy SEAL and the first special ops soldier to be identified in the devastating crash that killed 38. He left behind 2 children, the couple's 2-year-old son Reagan and 2-month-old daughter Chamberlain. Widow Kimberly Vaughn saw television reports on the helicopter downed in Afghanistan on Saturday morning before her doorbell rang and Navy officers told her husband was killed in action. That's a bitch. In spite of her painstaking grief, she said her husband wouldn't want to leave this earth any other way than how he did, making the ultimate sacrifice for his country. And Obama will compare him to the Occupy Wall Street people. He loved his job, she told CNN. There was no way, even if you could tell him that this would have happened, he would have done it anyway. All these men are like that. They are selfless. And then they have a picture of bin Laden without the hole in his head. It was just hours before the fatal mission. Vaughn had called his wife and spoke to his son for the last time. It was actually a great conversation, probably just about time before he went out to work that night, she remembered. We got to tell We got to tell each other we loved each other. So it was a great conversation to have soon after the tragedy came to a doorstep. I thought, oh, hopefully it's just a neighbor, and as I rounded the stairs, I saw the men in uniform, and I just fell to my knees. There's no preparing for it. There's nothing you see in the movies. It's something you're supposed to live through. It's not something you're supposed to live through. I fell to my knees and cried, and I didn't want to hear it. But it is the truth. She remembered, you want it to be a mistake. You want them to say it's the wrong person, but you wouldn't wish this on anyone. A family from the Philadelphia area was devastated to learn their son, Navy SEAL Michael Strange, was also killed. His father, Charles Strange, told CBS Philly, he was intense, he was funny, he had that dry humor like Seinfeld. Sergeant Patrick Hamburger, a Navy SEAL from Lincoln, Nebraska, spoke to his family back home before the mission. He told his brother that he wouldn't be in touch because his team had stuff to do. Kevin Houston of Chesapeake, Virginia, died while living his dream. The 36-year-old had wanted to be a SEAL since he was a toddler, friends told the Boston Globe. Grieving parents in Jacksonville, Florida, confirmed to the Jacksonville Daily News that their son, Navy SEAL Chris Campbell, was on the chopper when it was shot down. Another SEAL, John Tummelson of Rockford, Iowa. You know, these boys are all from all over the country. Perished in the crash, his father said. Spencer C. Duncan, 21, of Olathe, Kansas, was serving as a door gunner on the doomed chopper when it was brought down. Air Force Tech Sergeant John W. Brown of Arkansas, a paramedic whose unit was attached to the Navy SEALs, made the ultimate sacrifice. Craig Vickers, a Navy bomb disposal team member of Haiku, Maui, was also killed in the attack. Childhood friend Mike Labanon of Waliku told Hawaii News now Vickers was planning to return to the islands the next year. We emailed a few times several weeks ago, and he let me know he was having another child and moving back to Oahu. Craig is real strong, real smart, he said, and he always wanted to do something challenging. So when he said he was going into the Navy, it was only right. It kind of fit his personality. Other names of killed soldiers reported by Washington, D.C. TV, WJLA, include Matt Mills, Jason Workman, Brian Brill, Alexander Bennett, Derek Benson, John Duandara, Tommy Ratzlaff, Dan Zerbe, and Matt Mason. Meanwhile, as NATO begins an operation to recover the remains of the large helicopter, an Afghan official says heavy fighting has erupted in the area of the crash. Then they have a picture of where the SEALs took out Obama in Afghanistan. Wardak provincial spokesman Shahidullah Shahid said Sunday that a joint operation was taking place in the Tangi joint Zarin area of Saidabad district. He said there were reports of Taliban casualties overnight, but had no additional information. It is reported last night that the SEALs who died in the helicopter crash were not among the 23 who killed bin Laden. According to intelligence officials, the 23 who killed bin Laden at his compound and had recently returned to Afghanistan from their base in North Carolina. However, they were members of the same 120-strong SEAL Team 6 and would have trained alongside and been close friends with those who carried out the bin Laden raid. It is not clear if the Taliban had deliberately targeted the helicopter as an act of revenge, but its shooting down is bound to be greeted in many parts of the Arab world as terrible vengeance for the death of the al-Qaeda leader. Reports suggested that seven members of the Afghan National Army, one dog handler, an interpreter, and an unknown number of the crew were also on board the downed helicopter. Friday night's attack is the deadliest single incident since the Afghan war began in 2001. It was also the highest one-day death toll for U.S. Navy special warfare personnel since the Second World War in 2005. 16 Navy SEALs and U.S. Army Special Forces died when their helicopter was shot down as they tried to rescue four comrades under attack from the Taliban. A NATO helicopter crashed last night in Wardak province, Karzai said in a statement, adding that 31 American Special Army Operations troops were killed. Karzai expressed his deep condolences because of the incident and sympathy to Barack Obama. Vulnerable, and they have a picture of this chopper. Slow-moving transporter craft like the Chinook face massive risks in eastern Afghanistan. Then they got a picture of a looks like a Navy SEAL. Let me see if it's a Navy SEAL. Mystery, it was reported that those who died weren't part of the 23 SEALs. Mr. Obama, who learned of the incident at Camp David, issued a statement saying his thoughts and prayers go out. Their deaths are a reminder of the extraordinary sacrifices made by men and women of our military and our families. Maybe by the time he finishes 4 years, he'll be an American, this guy, huh? We will draw inspiration from their lives and continue the work of securing our country. Oh, yeah? By giving the Russians the serial numbers of nuclear missiles on British submarines? That's how you're going to do it? You're going to scale down our ability to defend ourselves when we are weaker than we've ever been? Manpower-wise, Mr. Obama said he also mourned the loss of seven Afghans who died alongside our troops, including the guy that pulled the grenade. I'm sorry. At the Pentagon, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says he is deeply saddened by the loss. Yeah. And vowed that the U.S. will stay the course to complete the mission. Yeah, and you know what the mission is right now? Run fast. The Chinook involved in Friday's attack, a U.S. twin-engine helicopter mainly used for transport troops. Was hit by a shoulder-fired held grenade as it returned. Now, you see, as it returned from a night raid on a militant gathering in the Tangi Valley. Now, you see, now there's two different stories. One says they were landing, and this one says they were returning. Dubbed Death Valley is... The Tangi Valley, dubbed Death Valley, is known for being one of the most hostile corridors in Afghanistan. The volatile Wardak province is an infamous insurgent stranglehold. Oh, yeah? You mean one jet can run up and down there with those little golf balls and blow up all over the place? Yeah, it sounds like somebody's not fighting a war anymore. The Special Forces unit in the Bin Laden operation, known as blah, 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 has around 300 members, of whom 120 are commandos. The rest are communications and specialists. The tragedy comes as America draws down its presence in Afghanistan. Run, boys, run. Their deaths are a reminder. You gotta get the president elected. We all got to be out of here. Don't worry about those stragglers. They'll make it on their own. And they all talk about the courage. I love them when they talk about the courage of the troops. It makes me sick. Aircraft crashes are relatively frequent in Afghanistan. Then they go and tell you about all the accidents that they've had. Yeah, and then, oh, meanwhile, NATO troops attacked the house and inadvertently killed eight members of a family. See, they gotta tell you that. You know, it's not all one-sided. Okay, so what we're reading here, what we're reading here is the firefight lasted. Okay, let's see what this says here. The firefight lasted at least 2 hours, the general said. It was the end of the operation that one of the NATO helicopters crashed. This don't add up, man. We don't know yet the cause of the crash. We don't know how many NATO soldiers were on board. NATO has come under harsh criticism in the past for accidentally killing civilians. Then it goes into who are the Navy SEALs. I got to tell you that there's not enough information here. The one story that started was that there were Rangers trapped on the ground taking heavy fire, and this crew was put together real quickly to go in and help them. But I read a blog from one guy that said, why did they go in on a chopper? They were within running distance of the base. So there's a lot to remains to be disclosed or covered up, depending on which side of the team you're on. I would venture to guess that Taliban intelligence is either very close to that base or inside it. And so let me see if I can find a tune to dedicate to these brave men who, I call this a murder. And I said in my blog, I never saw this anywhere in the news, media, I found it online. I was wrong about Obama never going to Dover Air Force Base to pay. He did go. It was an ambush, according to the article. I'd like to know more. Wouldn't you? Looks like the Rangers taking fire with a decoy to bring the SEALs into the rescue. But there had to be Taliban intelligence nearby, if not on the base. And that was my opinion. So this is just coming out now. Let me entertain you. Hang in there a second, and we'll see what we can do here. Well, this kills me every time. Here we are. Oh, that's an old tune. Don't mind me, I'm cracking up. I've got to, they're killing me, these guys. They're always killing me. Get out of here. I got to do a tune. Should I tell you a joke while I'm trying to get out of this mess? This is terrible. First, I got to get to AOL, which is now, they say they bought the Huffington Post, but I think Huffington Post took it over. Oh, they caught a Trojan on my computer. I guess I'll be charged with a condom concealment. Give me a break here. What do we got here? All right, we're going to do this. I'm going to read you this. Kristallnacht for Catholics. Catholics are the new Kristallnacht targets of the Party of Death. Do you know who the Party of Death is? It's the Demokamos, formerly the Democrats, formerly the Democrats. Will Ruth Bader Meinhof Ginsburg rewrite the Nuremberg Laws of 1935 to persecute Catholics? Will we have to sew crosses on our jackets? Will we be charged with having too many babies and hiding old people? Will the Demokamos jacuzzi us? Will we be made to have condom inspections when the whistle blows? The five greatest enemies of the Party of Death are 1. Pope Benedict, 2. Rush Limbaugh, 3. Sarah Palin, 4. Tim Tebow, 5. Rick Santorum. What do they all have in common? They're all Christian. They're all anti-communist / atheist. Is the time right to destroy the Catholic Church? Why now? What other goals are in play? Here's a scoop, guys. You can't be Catholic and a Demokamo. There are no amendments to the Ten Commandments. The media is going to Sarah Palin, Tim Tebow. Never forget, this is the media of breastfeeding halftime shows. They want to cheapen the image of football players. A guy like Tebow brings class back into the game. If I was a Sanchez's agent, I would be concerned that Tebow will hurt his client's earning power. The right way to handle it is teamwork wins, everybody wins. It sure beats paying a team member to injure a fellow team member. Bask in the sun, boys. Win big and share the glory. Look what effect Tebow has had on other teams already. Did you know that Eli Manning converted for 2 points? The Arizona Cardinals are all wearing those big hats now. No more helmets. Rick Santorum promises to put 2 Catholic Cardinals on the Supreme Court, and they're going to be allowed to wear their baseball uniforms. Go on with the good flow. Enjoy the extra good publicity. One Nation under Tim Tebow. Then I give my websites, MediaCrapMatters.us, Spirit of America Party Radio Show. On YouTube, if you want to get maudlin and sentimental, 911 Danny Boy. Just look for 911 Danny Boy, Roy Orbison sings, to the first attack on U.S. soil. Yep. And I often think back to the Thanksgiving, the first Thanksgiving after 911, and all the dining room tables that had one empty chair. And I have a song that I dedicate to all of the kids, wives, of all of the fallen. And it's Roy Orbison's In Dreams. So I got Roy Orbison for Danny Boy, and I got Roy Orbison In Dreams. Attention, New York Post. I open up my internet this morning, and there's a picture in the Post of Tim Tebow with no shirt on and his hands outstretched. And somebody snapped it, and they put it in the Post, and they called it the Tim Tebow Passion. Now, here we're coming up on Holy Week, right? And here they are. They're mocking Christ using Tim Tebow. And I sent the Post a notification. The Tim Tebow Passion pick is totally an insult to Christians. It was done deliberately to use a communist buzzword, assassination by ridicule. Not Tebow, but the Christian religion. Why not show Rupert Murdoch counting 30 pieces of silver to offset New York Post of blasphemy? Do not Sarah Palin a Tim Tebow. It will cost you. God sees what you do. And then I went to media blackout on Rick Santorum's landslide in Louisiana. Remember Iowa? Moneybags Romney won by 3 votes. They called it a landslide. He got a landslide. And when it turned out Santorum won, they whispered, Santorum won. Thank you, land of Andy Jackson. The embers of freedom aglow in the patriot state. Massachusetts should drop that handle, and the football team should be called the New England Flag Burners. Led by the communist example of John Kerry and Ted Kennedy and Congress Mouse Markey, who turns off the water for California farmers. You know, that's how devious these... I always say re-puppies cannot beat devious Democrats. Because a guy like Markey from Massachusetts can stop water flowing on a California farm through his committee. And a guy like Chuck Schumer can pull a card on a candidate for office in Ohio who happens to be an Iraqi war vet. And Chuck Schumer pulled his card, and he wasn't given a chance. And that's what's going on in the dirty Democrat Party, the Democamo Party. So, let me see what I got here. Now they want you to believe that Romney is a Republican top echelon. Well, we have seen the top echelon, and all we see are Democrats with an R next to their name. All last night, I searched the channels for news of the Louisiana primary, and this morning I only found something from Greta. Fox had a blackout without previews past midnight. This morning, hardly a whisper. I had to go to the Huffy Puffy Post, who I told you now owns AOL, even though AOL bought her, to read the fourth headline down in small print, Santorum wins Louisiana. That was this morning. And by 4:27 this evening, it was the last headline about to disappear from the news, just like this shoot down of the SEALs, buried in 8 hours in the news. You know why he won Louisiana? Because they trust a good man. All the bubbleheads are looking bad with their in-house predictions. That's a lot of wasted salaries on opinion directors and pullers. The people don't want the media to pick the president. They want to pick the president. Keep the ball rolling, Rick, right into the convention hall and bring Gingrich with you. The theme for this election should be money can't buy you love or a presidency. And that goes for Obama's billions, too. One nation under Tim Tebow. And then I have if you go to Blog Talk Radio and click on Assassination, go to SOAP, the Spirit of America Party, and click on Assassination by Ridicule. That's my May 24th blog. my May 24th radio show. Now ask me about the Eisenhower Memorial built according to Stalin's plans. Hang in there, granddaughter Eisenhower. Help is on the way. The granddaughter of Dwight Eisenhower was telling this committee that spent 3 years futzy-putzing around to make plans for this memorial for Eisenhower. They spent $18 million just to draw up the plans. How's that, huh? How's that for milking the dog? It conforms with Article 22 of the 45 Communist Goals of 1965, entered into the congressional record. Article 22 says, continuing discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. An American communist cell was told to eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings, substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms. And I'm sure you've seen a few. And then there's Article 23 of the 45 Goals of the Communist Party. It states, control art critics and directors of art museums, you know, like the one that did Piss Christ, right? Our goal is to promote ugliness, repulsive, and meaningless art. And you can Google 45 Goals of the Communist Party, and you'll find them. Or you could go to page 345, Spirit of America Party book, and take me to the beach. Here is the poop from group. This is a good one. I got an inside scoop for you. I was talking to a lady today who worked as an executive in a fancy hotel. One day, George Bush Jr. stayed over, and she had her picture taken with him. She was one of 50 photo shots with other employees. This was right after 9/11, and she thanked Bush for what he was doing for the country, and being that 9/11 was fresh, she choked up, and Bush thanked her. How's that? And you know, when Bush ran for a re-election in 2004, the Democamo Party told him if he brought up 9/11, they would raise holy hell. He didn't even show his picture going out on the ball on the Yankee field, throwing the ball with a bulletproof vest on. Then she told me that Bill Clinton was always flirting with the staff. You know, flirting, that's a nice word. It's a nice word for a dirty guy. Yeah. Once she was on the same elevator with Hillary. This is the one that's going to get you. And she said, good morning. And she looked at Hillary, gave Hillary a smile. And Hillary would not acknowledge her or look at her. Hillary just looked straight ahead. And when Hillary stepped off the elevator, she tripped. And I told that lady she should have shouted, horse through a shoe! Well, get that fat leg fixed. You might need a special boot. Yeah. I also said, don't feel bad, that I read an article by a White House secret agent who said Hillary ordered staff never to look in her eyes. So that was true. And it was confirmed by a girl in an elevator. You never know what you might pick up. It's a small world. So here's a little article. It says, hoping and praying Santorum fights his way in. The upper cruddy crust of the Repuppy Party, the Grey Poupon elites, instead of coming together to fight Obama, have joined with the Royal Repuppies to stop Santorum. Romney took out 13,000 ads to smear Gingrich, who could only fight back with 300, and the media, including the Royal Repuppies, turned around and said Gingrich was fighting dirty. That's like a guy that got stomped by 20 bikers in an alleyway, and as the bikers are coming out, they say he was a dirty fighter. He used his crutches. Every vote Santorum got, he worked for. Every vote Romney got, his Rat Packs worked for. Santorum was supposed to be dust in the wind by now. $35 million in Romney petty cash should have done him in. Look how they crushed Gingrich in Florida with 13,000 Royal Repuppy ads to poor Newt's 300. Besides, they told everybody Newt is overweight and the oil baron housewives of Babylon won't vote for him. Santorum goes to church on Sundays, so he's a right-wing nut. Hey, guys, if you don't turn the nut to the right, the wheel comes off. Didn't you ever hear that saying, for the loss of a shoe, a horse was lost? For the loss of a horse, a battle was lost? And for the loss of a battle, a country was lost? Speaking of shoes, how do you like checking at the airport? You brought it on yourself by not paying attention to the rising jihad tide, which is now coming back from Afghanistan with the troops. Wait till you have to be screened to get on a bus or a subway. Do you know Iran has subway maps of New York and other major cities? You do know that Operation Bojinka included terrorists boarding planes in the Philippines, dressed as Catholic priests. Santorum's biggest enemy is not NBC. It is Fox, who undermines him very delicately, leaving no DNA trace. A shrug here, a smirk there, a raised eyebrow at just the right talking point. Santorum's biggest enemy is not Obama, it is Jeb Bush. Santorum's biggest threat comes not from crazy Maureen Dowd, but from I have to stick with the big money boys, Ann Coulter. Hey, Ann, the next time you date Bill Maher, see me for a plutonium, a teabag, a free one. Don't stay too close to him, because Tad Palin has told Israeli Massoud a Bill is an Iranian nuclear scientist. Santorum deserves to be heard all the way to the finish line. I wish Newt would pay him compliments as they reach the finish line together. Hey, Newt, I put up a website in your honor, www.virginiansfornewt.com. When the royal repuppies denied you and Rick your freedom of speech, Santorum's biggest big-mouth opponent is not Chris Matthews de Ratzenfinger from NBC. It is the NBC's sleeper sellout, Anus in the Morning. Trump, we can understand, money goes to money. Even the Democamos are hoping it will be Romney, Kerry, Kennedy, Markey types. Just look at Scott Brown, the royal repuppy. He threw one harpoon for the team, a nasty joke about Gingrich and Santorum. Nothing good ever comes from Massachusetts. Paul Revere got up and moved his grave to Louisiana. And that is where I pray the Liberty Bell will ring today. And I also pray that this race goes all the way to the convention floor under a giant spotlight, not a repuppy backroom door. We need a quorum of vote Santorum. He likes to raise big families. Wouldn't you like to be a pro-life baby as opposed to Stalinist vote birth control fetus? We count on absentee ballots. In case I didn't mention it, Romney can't beat Obama. He beat McCain, too. And the repuppies know it. They're only interested in Senate seats. Ask Rush Limbaugh. One Nation under Tim Tebow. When you get to the top, it's all the same people. Let's do bottoms up. Bartender, a champagne, and play A Nation once again. So, having said that, sad but true, neither party plans to cut expenses. A 10-year payback for 10-minute loans? Come on. Give me a break. Give me a Kit Kat bar at least. Okay, so having said that, what do we got here? Oh, somebody said that the schools are going communist. Private schools is the answer, a friendly competition. And to my beloved Catholic Church, I would prefer to see every Catholic child from preschool through high school educated according to God's rules as close to free as it could be. And if it meant closing all the Catholic universities to pay for it, I could live with that. The early years are the most important years. The innocent years are very few. No Catholic child should be forced to go to a communist state-run school because their parents can't afford the tuition. A free education would bring parents back to God. Isn't that more important than anything? Well, where there's a will, there's a way. Play church bells may ring. Hang in there. I got to dig up my AOL. doctor, give me the news. I gotta go out and come back in.
Goodbye.
By yourself. Let me see what we got here. What will I do? There we go. I got to go back out on the radio. As long as I'm talking on this phone, we have a connection. Here comes AOL. There's a picture of Arianna Huffington. chewing tobacco. I think it's tobacco.
Welcome. You've got mail.
Here we go. We got mail. This is great, isn't it? We got mail. Okay, here we go. I got to type in www. Forgive me on this. blogtalkradio.com. But if you ever wanted to learn how to do this, you can pay attention. I'm giving you a free class right now. So I click on Internet Radio, and up comes Soap. And now I get to the studio. It won't let me get to the studio. There we go. Get to the studio. No, that's not the studio. No. No. This is terrible. Studio. Here we go. We made it. Doctor. Champagne. Got 4 minutes left. Wow, we took a lot of time. All right, let me give you a tune. You know what? Let me see if I can find a dedication to the Navy SEALs. Looking for Naval Hymn. Have you heard the words in the Naval Hymn? Navy Hymn. Here we go. Oh, it's got 7 minutes on it. Must be garbage on top of it. Oh, let me see if it plays first.
Hi, boys and girls. It's Captain Boycott. Today is the 16th of February, and the subject for today is prayer. If you were born after 1950, 1955, you were born into a world of drug slavery. You were born into slavery. Because prior to that time in the United States, there was hardly any drugs in this country. I know. I grew up in Washington Heights, which is now the drug capital of the world. But when I was a kid growing up, the only drug was beer. And I watched drugs move uptown from downtown. And I can tell you just about, if I probably went back and looked at a calendar, I could tell you what year Inwood fell to drugs, what year Riverdale fell to drugs, because I watched it come up. I used to hang around 125th Street and 137th Street and 155th Street. And I used to, and then I seen drugs move uptown as I was hanging out downtown until they finally hit my neighborhood. So I'm talking about drug slavery. And my point about drug slavery is if you're doing drugs, you're a slave. And you were born into it. And chances are, if your parents are of the wood slime generation, they were druggies too. So not everybody can walk away once they play. And the best way to beat drugs is never do the first one. That's corny. You Ford's wife, who was in rehab for alcohol, used to say no to drugs. And that's a big laugh, say no to drugs. But let me tell you something. If you don't say no to drugs, the drugs will say yes to you, and you will say yes, master, for the rest of your life. If you live that long. Okay? Now, drugs in my time, there was a separation. Guys who drank did not do drugs. As a matter of fact, they used to have basketball games, the drunkies against the junkies. But eventually, with the introduction of cocaine on a grand scale, the boys that were doing Guinness also did the coke. They were doing Guinness and coke. And that made for a toxic concoction that takes you right down. Drugs is only one problem. The other problem is that religion is being deep-sixed in the United States. With everybody wants to be European. I don't know why we would want to be European. We fought a revolution, so we wouldn't have to be European. And now we're back to peeing as a European. And it's ridiculous. My point for today is that there was a Navy chaplain to show you how corrupt we've become as a nation and how demoralized and fragmented we are as a nation. A Navy chaplain went on a hunger strike because he was forbidden by the Navy. All right, the Navy, who was founded by an Irish Catholic. John Barry is the father of the American Navy. Okay? this chaplain was told he couldn't say the word Jesus Christ outside of a closed room. And so I wanted to make you aware of how our Navy, up until World War II, depended on God for success. There is a naval hymn, which has been sung throughout history of the United States, and it's called the Navy Hymn. And I'm just going to give you the first three verses, so you have an idea of what we used to be when we could walk erect and when we were God and country people. And it goes like this: Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm hath bound the restless wave, who bids the mighty ocean deep its own appointed limits keep. O hear us when we cry to thee for those who peril on the sea. Verse 2. O Christ, whose voice the waters heard, and hushed their raging at thy word, who walkst on the foaming deep, and calm amidst its rage did sleep. O hear us when we cry to thee for those who peril on the sea. Verse 3. Most Holy Spirit, who didst brood upon the chaos dark and rude, and bid its angry tumult cease, and give for wild confusion peace, O hear us when we cry to thee for those who peril on the sea. It's a very beautiful hymn. When you hear it, sometimes it's hard to understand the words, because this was probably written in about the late 1700s, early 1800s. O Trinity of love and power, our brethren shield in danger's hour, from rock and tempest, fire and foe, protect them wheresoe'er they go. Thus evermore shall rise to thee glad hymns of praise from land and sea. And my wife says, if you sing God's praises, it counts as two prayers. And there's a whole bunch, and people have added to this. They've added verses down through the years. There's one for the Marine Corps. There's a verse for the Seabees. And Creator Father, who first breathed in us the life that we received, by power of thy breath restore the ill and men with wounds of war. Bless those who give their healing care, that life and laughter all might share. That was introduced in 1969. So I just want to give you a little idea of your roots, because if you don't know your roots, you have none. And you'll just be another flunky in a has-been country. So look back and take heart that you are the spirit of America, and a lot of people out there want to crush it. I'll talk to you, boys and girls.
So I guess that's it. I guess I missed it. We're signing off. Take care.